You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
I'm sure the three letters MTI put next to each other are etched in many South Africans' memories. And we got some results earlier, or some news rather, earlier in the year that the founder or the CEO, the mastermind behind the MTI scandal, a gentleman by the name of Johan Steinberg, was found in Brazil having passed away from a pulmonary embolism. Now, by all accounts, that sounds like a case closed. Apparently it's not, and we're going to go down this rabbit hole. It might take us a bit more than one episode of our show to go down the rabbit hole, but it's in the interest of those that were invested in MTI to know if there is a slim chance that you might recover some of your money. I'm joined on the line by Stephen Tim, journalist and researcher, who's been keeping a very close eye on this MTI story and these developments, to take a look at what's going on here. Good evening, Stephen. Lovely to speak to you. Didn't we close this off earlier in the year? Isn't this a cut and dry case? What's going on?
Well, you know, no one knew what exactly he was doing over there in Brazil. So, you know, I was, I thought, you know, I lived there in 2014 and 15, and I speak Portuguese. Why the heck? And I'm a journalist, and I've written about a fraudster before. Why the heck not go over there and check out things? Because that's the real test. You know, you go there, check out a cemetery or the grave, or you know.
Mm. And that's quite interesting, right? So it's quite, I'm all for a good conspiracy and all of that, but conspiracies are very different from a factual investigation that has uncovered certain things. Which is what you've done, right?
I'm not a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah, so you've gone through the effort of finding out some of the facts. And let's get into those, Stephen. I want to get into what you've uncovered from your research and from your investigations, because seriously, this is obviously a serious matter. If we even have a slim chance that the individual who faked his death or is said to have faked his death actually did. What have you uncovered?
Well, you know, he was, while he was in São Paulo, he was working as a broker, literally doing exactly what MTI was doing, you know. So there's warning lights going off. This was under investigation by the Brazilian authorities, but that investigation was killed off in August by a judge in São Paulo Federal Court that said, well, look, you know, he's dead now. He has his certificate, and you know, the police went and checked out that he's actually dead. So you know, then you go like, okay, so is this guy actually dead? So I went to Goiânia. Probably no one has ever heard of it. It's a massive growing. Well, it's 3.5-4 million people. It's a thriving city, growing like apartment blocks coming up all over the place. In Brazil's heartland, in the agricultural area in the interior, and I visited a cemetery. I visited the Jardim das Palmeiras, where he's buried, and you know, I came to his grave, and his name is not on the gravesite. So, you know, I had to go back to the cemetery office that gave me the where his grave is, and they said, no, he's in there, and they showed me the registry information that they had on the screen. You know, they showed me turned the screen around, and the official there was, you know, very nice to show me. So I said, oh, okay, he's there. Like, who are these other people? No, they look like family members of his ex-girlfriend, or of his then partner, girlfriend. And well, the second thing is that you know, he being in Brazil, they have a wake, it's a Catholic tradition. You know, the body lies there in a room, and people can visit for the last time. They can see the person, the body, before it gets buried. So that's actually usually like the main thing, rather than the funeral. So like in Catholic tradition, it's the wake. Well, so the Interpol apparently came there like 2 weeks after the funeral was held, which was on the 24th of the funeral was held on the, he was buried on the 24th of April, died on the 22nd, and 15 days later, Interpol rocks up there, and they said, okay, oh, there's a camera there. Please, in the room where the wake was held, please, can you give us the footage? Except that camera was pointed at the door and not at the slab of the marble slab where his body was lying in the casket. So that threw that thing out the window. So you've got an unmarked grave. You know, the only evidence that someone is buried there, I can hand it to you. There is evidence that the earth has been upturned and stuff. Okay, sure. But where's his name? And then the footage of the wake wasn't. So what I'm saying is there's a lot of those two things. It's just a bunch. It's just the first two questions of a lot of questions, you know.
Mm.
His attorney was very standoffish. In fact, like, the guy did not answer any of my emails, and I sent him actual questions, you know. The only time he actually ever answered me was when I phoned from a Brazilian SIM card that I got when I came to the country. And then he said, oh, no, I'm actually out of Guyana now, but, you know, send me a WhatsApp when you arrive. Send the WhatsApp, no answer. So I had to go to his office. And there again, very standoffish, came out with some clients, looked at me like, you know, who's this dirtbag? Then when he came back a few minutes later, he said, like, now, like, what do you want? And, it, you know, it's like, dude, I'd sent you the email. It's all in Portuguese. What do you mean, what I want? So this guy didn't want to comment. He said, you know, like this a shut open and shut case, you know, John, that's what they call him there, Johan Stenberg, he's dead, he doesn't exist anymore, like, you know, end of story. So I'm like, okay, well, that's a bit weird. And I couldn't go to the prison. Prison said, like, you know, journalists aren't accepted, as usual practice, journalists are not allowed in the cells, even though I knew exactly which cell he was staying in. In a special unit. Mm. So, you know, and then I've been part, it's like, you know, there's a theory that, you know, I got a tip off from someone that, you know, the farm that he was under house arrest when he died. So, you know, another warning, another red flag goes up. Okay. So he wasn't actually, so the only time you can actually, you in house in Brazil, like my sort of less serious crimes, or like where there's less of a threat that you might run away or whatever. So they put an ankle bracelet on you, and you're assigned to an address, and the only you can work, I think, as far as I understand. But the only time you can leave that address is when you've got a medical problem. So of course he started having panic attacks is what the first thought it was, or what it was described as. But yes, pulmonary embolism, basically a blood clot on the lungs. And he was a smoker, but, you know, the guy was 40. He was closing on 41 years. But so there's sort of questions, like, if you're a cynical person like me, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, I'm just a cynic. So I'm like, hey, like, you know, there's all these things, you know, people are just not wanting to speak to you. They say, stop asking these questions, he's dead. So, you know, I mean, you got to think, you know, there's a chance that this guy, he was arrested on a fake ID, on two fake IDs, actually. So, you know, like, just think about it. 6,900 Bitcoins is apparently missing. So back then, December 2020, when he left South Africa, that was worth over close to 2.5 billion rand. So like, okay, there was multiple figures bandied around, you know, 11 billion or whatever it was. But the figure that's liquidators have now established that is actually missing was almost 2.5 billion. Back then, it's worth now more if you take the Bitcoins and translate it to modern money. So, you know, the guy has money. The guy had a well-connected lawyer. He was on house arrest. I mean, there's a bunch of questions. Like, you got to be living in Mars or something, and not to think that, not to consider. And our police and the Brazilian police, I mean, how? No, really, I don't know. Like, did they actually consider this properly? I don't know.
Well, we're going to have to keep digging down this rabbit hole, see where it takes us. For those interested out there, 6,900 bitcoins in today's current market value would be just north of 10.4 billion rand that could be going back to investors if we are able to recover it. The next conversation that you and I are going to have, Stephen, is around the co-conspirators and the other parties that are involved and see if we can track those people down. But we'll have to leave this one there for the interest of time. Thank you so much, Stephen, for the insights. Please keep us up to date on what it is that you find out, because there are certainly investors out there with a vested interest in this outcome. Stephen Tim, journalist and researcher on the MTI matter, and is Johan Steenberg really dead?
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app, and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.